I want to get into, where I was sort of setting this up is you're in two camps. It's clear you've laid out a very clear issue with mass vaccination and the pressure of it. But there are people on, that watch my show that reach out and say, he's saying that natural immunity is flawed too, that there's a failure in natural immunity because that the innate immune system has these sort of temporary or short-lived antibodies that just like the vaccine induces specific antibodies that get in the way of the innate immune system's fight. I've heard you say that there are people who have already come in contact with the virus, have had their innate immune response that are getting reinfected. You're saying that's happening with the kids now that we're seeing, even though, and I want to say this, even though on my show, I'm presenting all sorts of science coming out of Israel that shows that there's long-lived, robust protection from natural immunity. It is far better than the vaccinated immunity. Every study is showing us that. Studies out of Israel show that I think the reinfection rate is less than 1%. Yet you've been pretty vocal about your concern about reinfection. So what are you saying that's different than what we're seeing in these studies in Israel saying that it's less than 1%, virtually non-existent, this reinfection problem? Are they the same problem? Explain it to me.
If that would have been the understanding of your audience, I absolutely need to correct this. I'm certainly not at all against naturally acquired immunity. But there is two things. First of all, the reason why now many people get reinfected, so to say, is because after asymptomatic infection, you develop short-lived antibodies. Remember, this was, do you remember the story in Manaus in Brazil, where they got a huge wave at the beginning of the pandemic, and then they started measuring antibodies. And they said, we have herd immunity. Almost everyone was positive. Guess what? A few months thereafter, they had a second huge wave, right? But the problem is that many people must have developed simply asymptomatic infection. Of course, their antibodies will last for about 6 to 8 weeks. But those who had really gotten the disease and acquired the long-standing antigen-specific, the long-lived antigen-specific antibodies, they were, of course, protected.
I want to be
Now,
clear.
one.
You're really differentiating between an asymptomatic infection and a symptomatic infection. Once we're into a symptomatic infection, that cues us that you've now getting that B cell created antibody, memory antibodies that will remember that experience and fight the virus should you come in contact in the future. So once we're symptomatic, we're having a much stronger reaction and we develop long-lived antibodies that have memory. Whereas you're saying if you're asymptomatic, your innate immune system did such a good job that you have these antibodies that don't have memory and they're short-lived. They only last for 6 to 8 weeks to do their job and then they're out of there and they're gone. So what you're differentiating between is an asymptomatic and a symptomatic infection. Very different in how our immune systems deal with it.
As an asymptomatic infection, you only see the antigen a few days, right? The virus is rapidly eliminated. So your immune system is not really primed. It has seen it. There is some activation. There will not be long-lasting, no memory, etc., etc. So the immune system had seen it, but then it wanes very rapidly.
Now, it's interesting when I was looking at this, Geert, because at first, when I heard you say this several times, it seemed like a flaw in the immune system that it makes these short-lived antibodies. But it occurred to me whether or not you believe in God or perhaps just in evolution, you can come to the same realization that it appears to me that there's something brilliant about this innate immune system that it is so short-lived. Because maybe I'm just going to run this by you. This is just me sort of thinking it through. perhaps with something like measles, where you just, the innate immune response is never strong enough, it's always going to roll over into that more robust, long-lived immunity because it's not highly mutable. And that makes sense that if we want to survive, I only need to catch that once. And so I want to have a specific response. I want to have a specific antibodies built that will always recognize measles because it's not going to change that much. And that will last me my whole life. But when it comes to upper respiratory illnesses that we've had a real difficulty making vaccines for, the major reason is they are mutable. They change a lot. And so whereas you would want long-term immunity for a virus that's stable and going to stay the same, you don't want a long-term immunity for a virus that's changing all the time and producing variants, because at some point it's not going to recognize it. And now having those specific antibodies is going to be a problem for you because you won't recognize the virus coming in and then are really vulnerable. So our immune system has this brilliant function where in viruses, especially upper respiratory, that mutate very quickly, it only wants a quick reaction. It grabs on, we have NK killer cells hit it, our innate immune antibodies hit it, and then there's these, you know, to mop it up, these short-lived antibodies, and it's great because they clear out of the way and they're gone. And it's like the whole thing never happened. And so in many ways, that innate response is the best response. And so my question would be, now, as we look at the environment that we're seeing for the natural immunity versus innate immunity versus vaccinated immunity, we understand, I think, all the problems with vaccination immunity. It doesn't stop the infection, it doesn't stop the transmission, it doesn't neutralize the virus, and therefore just creates pressure and allowing it to be a breeding ground. And so in some circumstances, as this vaccine's pressuring and we've created this unnatural world, we really want as many people to not have come in contact with this, right? Or to have at least been asymptomatic so they still have this innate immunity in place and not naturally acquired. Are we in a situation where there may be a preference, just as a scientist looking at this bigger picture, that the innate immunity may be the more important immunity right now compared to the naturally acquired immunity for these reasons?
Yeah, well, certainly for this type of disease, because as I was saying, it's not a childhood disease, and typically the innate immunity is more than sufficient. And in fact, the acquired immunity, as you were saying, is only very important if you have a situation where the innate immunity is not really sufficient. I wanted to make a small correction to what you say. The vaccinal antibodies, they can also, of course, and neutralize. The problem is that the neutralizing capacity is, of course, not so good, because the vaccine that we are using is pretty different, the S protein, from the S protein in the circulating strain. The big advantage of the natural infection, you get immediately the update. You get infected by the most relevant variant that is circulating, so you get immediately that update. And secondarily, it primes in a much more efficient way, so that the diversity of variants that it will recognize, that your immune response will recognize, is larger than the one that got induced by the vaccines. So that are the two major advantages, right? Okay. I don't want to make things complicated, but it is somewhere a kind of innate response that is between the purely pre-existing, that has no memories, broadly protective and cross-protective, and the one that is the acquired, that is very specific and has memory. You have something in between, and all this is documented. These are kind of like innate antibodies that have already some kind of maturation, not really memory, that are a little bit more narrow in what they recognize. And these people who keep in good shape, etc., they do have this kind of innate, trained immunity. And you will see, and I tell you, and everybody can write this down, the immunity will become, of the unvaccinated, will become better and better thanks to training. They are continuously confronted with the virus. And so what you will see, and you can also already see this in the graphs that are published by the Public Health England, In the vaccinees, the efficacy or the number of the infected and diseased people remains more or less the same. But what you see is that in the non-vaccinated, the number of infected people becomes lower and lower. And because the infection diminishes, because what I'm saying, innate immunity, whether it is strained or pre-existing, is sterilizing immunity. So because it gets strained, you get less and less, fewer and fewer infections in the unvaccinated. If you get fewer and fewer infections, you get, of course, fewer and fewer disease cases. And you see the number of disease cases in the unvaccinated going down. And what will happen is that, and that of course also applies to children, what you will see with the children is that even though we continue the mass vaccination, you will see that their trained immunity, their innate immunity is going to be more and more better and better trained. So guess what? These experts who don't understand anything about the evolutionary dynamics of the pandemics are saying, yes, we have low cases, disease cases for the kids, but we need to vaccinate them because look, we have a tremendous impact on transmission, right? Of course, as these young people get the innate immunity more and more trained, these antibodies now can be less well outcompeted by the short-lived antibodies. And you simply go to the publication of Public Health England. You can see, Del, on the left panel, the vaccinees are the black columns.
Yes.
And the non-vaccinated are the gray columns.
Great.
Okay, the first three columns, it's under 39, you see an effect of the vaccine on infection, Del. Okay?
Yep.
The vaccinees, there are fewer vaccinees infected
right.
than right. non-vaccinated.
Right.
People under the age of 30 or 40 even, the vaccine has a dramatic effect on the reduction of transmission. Then I would say, wait a minute. If I'm going to wait for like 1 month, then these people, their innate immunity must have gotten trained a lot better because the virus is circulating all the time. And then you look at the graph at the right panel. What happened? So now in the age group, 30 to 39, it's already the unvaccinated that got less infected. And in the other group, 18 to 29, it's more or less the same. There is a little still advantage of the vaccinees. And still, in those who are very inexperienced in terms of antigen encounter and maturation of their innate immune system, so the youngest children, there is still a major advantage of being vaccinated. But I tell you, if you're going to look at this column under the age of 18, you will see in 1 or 2 months from now that also there it will dramatically decrease and it will maybe even be at the favor or at the advantage of the unvaccinated because even those young children or young people will now get trained more and more and will be capable, thanks to their trained innate immunity, to have sterilizing immunity and eliminate the virus. If we are now going to vaccinate these people, what we are going to do is that we will take away this capacity of sterilizing immunity.
Then we leave a population that nobody can sterilize.
Yeah, we can completely forget about herd immunity. Can you imagine what this means if you are now going to suppress this innate immunity on a permanent basis? Because that is exactly what you will do if you immunize them, if you prime them, right? Secondly, they are a breeding ground for the more infectious virus. So this is just going to speed up the resistance. And third, when the resistance comes, I mean, these people will have their innate antibodies completely suppressed, and their acquired antibodies through vaccination are completely worthless. Can you imagine what that means for individual health and for population health? This is just going to be a major disaster. And Del, Nobody can explain this. I'm explaining you what is happening there. And, you know, nobody cares. Nobody interprets this. This is just, you know, for me, this is unbelievable, unbelievable.
Well, this is probably, I mean, when we watch this FDA meeting, to me, you didn't have to be a rocket scientist or even a virologist to say, that just seems very simplistic and perhaps stupid. When I think this comment was the one that really went wild on social media, and I think really ends up being the grounds for why the FDA appears to have, you know, agreed to authorize the use of this vaccine in children. Take a look at this.
We're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is unless we start giving it. That's just the way it goes.
There it is. We're never going to learn what the vaccine does till we start giving it to all the kids.
Del, let me put it that way. You can talk about many, many things. You can talk about, of course, all the side effects, and that is important. I'm not saying that is not important. And that is, so to say, the safety. Already the fact that they are saying, we use human beings and even children as experimental animals, but basically to see. But one thing that we do know, and the safety impact, because he's talking about safety, the safety impact will be tremendous and will be of an order of magnitude that is not even comparable to the side effects we are talking about, is driving this virus into resistance, depriving the children from both their innate immunity and their vaccinal protection, and preventing in an irrevocable way the population from ever generating herd immunity. So what we are going to do is, instead of the population exerting selection pressure on the virus, we are going to allow this virus to exert selection pressure on innate immunity of the host. So that means only people who will still have their innate immunity intact have a chance to survive.
What is the worst case scenario if you sort of game this out? What type of damage in numbers on a population level are we talking about? Because you've seemed very stressed in the videos that I've seen. I can tell right now you're very passionate about this. What is sort of your worst case scenario concern?
I cannot talk about figures, but what is clear is that the order of magnitude will be something completely, completely unprecedented. Because again, what I'm saying is, and this is the logic of the science, what we will obtain if we do this, if we continue the mass vaccination, we continue the boost, we don't do anything about the infectious pressure, we immunize all the children, I mean, if that is not going to be a catastrophe, you can put me in jail. I'm very serious about this. Is there any expert who would dare to say this? If I'm wrong with the vaccination of the children, you can put me in jail? Nobody. I do this because I'm convinced, I've done my homework, I've turned this thing upside down from all sides. It is like pieces of a puzzle, of a very complex puzzle that can only match in one single way. If it scientifically makes sense, and then you see all the data, and you know the data go exactly, none of my predictions, of course, I cannot say January or February or when is this going to explode in Israel. I know it's going to explode. I know it's going to be very fast. I think before the end of the year even, but I don't know for sure. But this is really, we are giving the virus an opportunity to do a natural selection amongst the human race, those who have innate immunity versus those who have none. Right, none left, because of what I explained. I know this is very strong. You know me in the meantime. I'm not into sensation. I'm not into dig. But, you know, I mean, it cannot be. It cannot be that we vaccinate the children. It's impossible. That is our last hope.